for the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus Lane.
Tread Claus.
His reindeer, his reindeer, the non-rain.
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich. You know, as is usual, if you're here in the morning, especially on the weekends, there's, you know, no sports to watch or anything like that. So, rather than watch the same highlights over and over and over again every 20 minutes.
Or the news with no sound.
Yeah. Throw on, like, MTV Classic.
Of course.
And during the headlines break, Tone Loc was on.
Okay.
We all remember and love Tone Loc.
Of course.
But I looked up, and they're playing Wild Thing. And I thought, for some reason, entered into my head, you know what song is not aged particularly well?
Wild Thing?
Funky Cold Medina.
I'm not familiar with most lyrics outside of Funky Cold Medina in Funky Cold Medina. So.
Funky Cold Medina, if you're too young or just are not aware, was about an aphrodisiac drink.
Oh, no, you don't know.
Although I believe it was you drink it yourself. You put it in your own glass, but and the women just come flying around. But even okay. So, it's,
we don't put
it's
stuff in drinks.
It's some sketchy territory. It was, I mean, it was 30 years ago. We didn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a different era.
There's all this controversy now about Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah.
Maybe we're overlooking
Tone
Loc right
in front of our face. I'm guessing that, you know, that's not one that sees a lot of airplay on MTV Classic these days.
Probably not. Probably
not. The bubbling cauldron of whatever that stuff
Enchantment.
Was supposed to be.
Enchantment
yeah, you know, his dog even attacked him over it.
Remember, am I wrong? Wasn't there a Cosby Show episode where they ran that storyline? There was some sort of drink that made the ladies go crazy.
Oh, I don't.
I think there might have been.
Would have thought. You know, it's funny you bring up the Cosby Show because we played a clip earlier of James White scoring and Zoe yelling out "Sweet Feet," which of course was also the nickname for Rudy Huxtable, the one episode that she played football.
Interesting.
She was the running back, and they called her Sweet Feet.
I didn't know that.
You know, you're coming up with a date rape drug episode of
Cosby Show,
and you don't remember Rudy Huxtable playing football?
I missed that one.
She and I think Peter was on the team too.
The little fat kid. Cosby Show
episode
featured Bill Cosby drugging people with his mystical barbecue sauce, which made them want to go home. And
no,
yeah.
I do remember that now. Yeah, there was something special in the barbecue sauce that made all the couples were getting into fights.
Amorous.
And they had the barbecue sauce, and suddenly, yes, they were very much in love.
Not a lot of hidden meaning in that, we know now. That was just straight up Bill Cosby bragging to the world that he had medicines.
Wow.
There you go.
Glad you shared that.
Didn't know where that was in the brain, but, you know, sometimes things get activated.
I wonder,
because
there
right
are
up.
Still places where they show the Cosby Show on television.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Still?
Still.
Isn't he in jail?
Well,
he's been convicted.
Well, I mean, he's not doing it live. I mean, it's
still,
you know, shows from 30-plus years ago.
Yeah. I
but
mean,
there's
like
still,
even,
there are still places that you can see the Cosby Show on television.
You can't even watch Naked Gun on TV.
I'm wondering if that episode still airs somewhere.
I would think that one's out of the catalog. I would hope.
Maybe they wouldn't like if
they,
you're a network executive who shows the Cosby Show. Maybe you have no idea that episode
like,
even exists.
Probably 212 episodes.
It was on for a long time.
Yeah. So I missed the football one. I'm sorry.
I can't believe it. Yeah, she was a star. She played for like, you know, 3 games, and then they lost, and then she didn't want to play anymore.
Missed it, or maybe I saw it, but it was the 90s, and I watched a lot of TV.
Well, speaking about football, there was a football game yesterday down in Foxborough. The Patriots won, of course, 24-12 to claim another AFC championship.
AFC East championship,
getting ahead of ourselves. Their 10th straight AFC East championship, never been done in the history of the NFL.
I think the closest is 7. No one's even come close to 10.
I mean, 10's ridiculous.
It is.
Like, how many years has it been? The NFC East, the Dallas won the NFC East title yesterday, and
it's
like they haven't had a repeat champion.
04.
Is that how long it's been?
04.
So it's been like almost 15 years now since they've had a repeat champion in the NFC East. But Tom Brady yesterday, they ran the ball a lot, as well they should, because they were running the ball really well, and they ended up with 273 yards rushing. So tough to, you know, to doubt the play calling. But in a day where, and I don't often bring up fantasy football, Michael, but in a day where a lot of people were having fantasy football championship games,
I love it.
I'm guessing quite a few people saw their season go down in flames because Tom Brady threw for 126 yards
and some Bobby Gronkowski
interceptions. Oh, my
zero
my
catches.
Wife, three targets, zero catches for Gronkowski.
Oh, that's great. I tweet a lot of things in jest, but before week one, I always tweet out that I hope everyone's fantasy team loses miserably. And before week 16, I always try to remember to tweet out, I hope you lose your fantasy football championship today. And lo and behold, I think it happened. Oh, I think it was great. I love the mayhem. I love it.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
I just don't like fantasy football that much.
I don't either.
It's just overtaken so much of how people consume and think about the sport.
I got my hair cut
at this plate.
Please. I want to watch a game and care about which team wins.
Right.
See a touchdown, and it's like, rather than celebrate the touchdown, it was, who was it that scored that?
Right.
I don't care.
I get my hair cut at this place sometimes, and all the guys do is just talk about their fantasy teams, and it's like, there's more to life. I'm fine if you play fantasy, but like, when it consumes you like that, and there's no way to be a real expert on it. I don't care what you say. There's no way you know. One of the reasons I quit more than 10 years ago was because I had – who was it? Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush were sharing a backfield in New Orleans, and yeah. I had like Pierre Thomas, and he broke like an 88-yard touchdown, and I was like, all right, cool, I got the points. But then they reviewed it, and he was out on like the 1-inch line, and then Reggie Bush scores, and it's like, so if you had Reggie Bush, you're the fantasy football expert, and I'm the bozo who only got the yards. Like, it's just and then you have Tom Brady. That's a pretty good idea, and then he has 127 yards.
But yeah, his team still wins. But that
doesn't matter to Tom Brady.
That doesn't count for anything. The thing that matters in football, right, is your whether your team wins or not. That's all. Well, Tom Brady only 126 yards yesterday. There's been a lot of questions about, is he dealing with a knee injury? You know, people think he might have an MCL problem. He had the issue in Miami a couple of weeks ago where he laid down on the field for a few seconds and scared everybody. Well, Tom, are you hurt or not?
Tom, were you surprised when you were taken out of the game with 6.5 minutes left?
No.
And how are you feeling physically at this point in the season?
I feel great. I feel 100%.
No injury on being taken out 6:38?
No, I'm not injured.
Okay. Yeah.
Stop asking me. I can't be injured. I'm Tom Brady.
Have you not read the book? Like, have you not read my TB12 method? Like, there is no such thing as injury. I'm flexible. I am pliable.
Just imagine like the indignity to having to stand there amongst the tomato eaters and be asked questions about your health. These pigs that eat their tomatoes and other such strawberries and other inflammatory foods, and they're asking you about your health. That's got to be just a low point for Tom Brady.
See, but here's the concerning part about that. If you believe Tom Brady, all right, he's 100%.
No one's 100%.
Well, no one's 100%.
He was on the injury report for a couple weeks.
But
it's not like it's...
You know what? I feel great. I'm all good. I'm drinking all my, electrolytes and plenty of water. And wait, you're not drinking electrolytes, are you? You just...
I had a little bit of an issue this past week, so I've been buying the fancy water. It's pH balanced.
The hell does that even
with
mean?
Electrolytes and minerals?
Isn't regular water pH balanced?
Probably, but I paid more money for it, so I'm healthier.
Like, I saw a thing like they were trying to sell us like oxygenated water. It's like realize there's oxygen in mm-hmm. water already, mm-hmm. right? That's H2O.
Maybe it's H2O.
But H2O2 is that's like. hydrogen peroxide or something like that.
Don't knock it till you try it. But can we clear something up? Because
yeah.
I think last week there was a lot of hysteria when Mike Giardi said on Touchdown Rich that he's guessing, partially torn MCL. And everyone goes, oh, my God, a partially torn MCL. You know what else that's called? A knee sprain. That's what a sprained knee is. It's a partially torn ligament. So we know he hurt his knee twisting it around in Tennessee. We know he was on the injury report for 2 weeks thereafter. After a bye week, so I think he sprained his knee, and I think he's 41, and it doesn't go down the way it might if you're 25. I think that's not exactly, earth-shattering situation.
Well, which would you rather have? Is it that Tom Brady is nursing an injury and thus does, you know, is perhaps not playing up to his standards, or that he's not nursing an injury and he's just not playing up to his standards because he's 41 years old and he's starting to take a little bit of a skid?
I mean, I just look at, and I broke this down before this game, and this game is obviously a different animal, but in Pittsburgh, he was making the throws. In Miami, he was certainly making the throws. So it's not as if he has been a shell of himself physically. I think yesterday wasn't a very good game. It looked like nobody was into the game. I don't know if we can, you know, surmise that from body language and just demeanor, but, like, you could look at them during, you know, after a three and out, they'd be on the bench. Brady would be sitting there by himself. McDaniel would be sitting there quietly. Edelman would be sitting there quietly. Hogan was over on a bench with Ryan Allen because he just it was invisible to Tom Brady, so why even bother sitting with the offense? It was they looked like they were losers of two straight playing a Week 16 game against the Bills on a cold December day. So I'm not going to overreact to a bad passing game against the best pass defense in the league when the running game was working that well. I think there's a lot of elements where if you really want to get yourself spooked out and say this is the beginning of the end, or this is, you know, the cliff, or this is whatever, you can do that. But I'm not doing it because I think the throws I've seen him made in the past 2 weeks, I'm not talking about September, October, he's done everything physically he needs to be able to be Tom Brady.
I feel 100%.
See?
I'm not hurt. Dang it.
I swear, I'm not hurt.
I feel great. I feel 100%.
He sounds like it, doesn't he? I feel great. Feel 100%.
But he was very smiley at the podium, too. He was very grumpy during I was doing my post-game stories and trying to get photos and everything, trying to line him up. And I just wanted him celebrating or being, like, fired up or yelling. And I want to talk to Jeff about this, too, when Jeff's on, because he didn't do his pregame. He always jogs out of the tunnel, goes all
runs
the way
all
up,
the way
100,
down the other,
100 yards up the sideline, and does his fist pump, yells at the fans. The cameramen are all there. The photographers are all there ready. And he just stopped around, like, the 35 and was just, I'm going to warm up now. So, I'll talk to Jeff because I feel stupid making a big deal of it, but I can't think of a game.
He always does it.
I've been going down there for 10 years.
Like, they usually post a video of it on, like, the
Mike
Patriots.
Mike Reese is always right there.
Twitter,
like,
and, yeah.
It's every week. It's not like it's like, oh, he usually does this. It's sort of his thing. So I don't know. I don't think there was – it's weird to say there wasn't, like, emotional investment from a Brady-led offense, but from the passing game, it just didn't seem to be there.
All right, we'll ask Jeff Howell about that coming up next as he will join us. It's Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Patriots take the final knee in the final 30 seconds. Hoyer lined up in victory formation. And the Patriots, with Tom Brady as their starting quarterback and Bill Belichick as their head coach, are bound for the playoffs once again. 16 times in the last 18 years, 10 in a row as the AFC East Division champions.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich this morning. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for little something called The Athletic, joining us now on the phones. Good morning, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Jeff, can I start with the first question? I have a subscription now to The Athletic, so do you want to thank me for that?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
And also, my T-shirt never showed up, so are you going to get that squared away for me?
Support@theathletic.com.
Thanks.
So, like, I would guess that, you know, at least probably, you know, 5-6 cents of your monthly subscription probably winds up in Jeff Howe's pocket, right?
At least a minimum of a nickel. And when I see Jeff, I'm always, you know, I'm always wise to throw him a dime here or there. So I'd like to double my contribution to the Jeff Howe part of the website.
That's not just a lie. That's a lie that I could prove to be incorrect just as recently as yesterday when, you know, I would not have spent nearly as much time with you if I knew that we were going to be forced into a semi-friendly conversation this morning.
This is brutal. Johnson's going to have to carry this one.
But you had a question you wanted to pose of Jeff Howe.
Yeah.
We were talking about right before the break.
So you
did a tease, so
Jeff,
now you have to deliver on
and
that.
Jeff, we talked about this a little yesterday. I was reading your story. You mentioned it. And I fully admit, I feel like it's stupid to make a big deal about Tom Brady not doing his pregame jog to the corner and being fired up and pumped up. But I also feel like it's kind of a big deal considering he does it every single game. Can you think of a game where Brady took the field and didn't do that?
No, I can't at all. I mean, we could be going back really as far back as 20 years for all I know. I mean, I've been covering the team for 10, and I feel like I've seen him do it for every single home game of that stretch. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's weird that we're sitting here discussing something like that, but it's all part of, you know, a bigger equation that there are signals that verify what I've been told, that, you know, there is a manageable issue that Brady is playing through with his left knee. You know, I wouldn't really call it an injury as much as, you know, something that he's going to probably deal with for the rest of the way. And, you know, I don't have the exact diagnosis, but, you know, I feel like it could be whatever it is. It's something that's minor. It could be a bruise. It could be something that, you know, potentially requires a scope after the season. But whatever it is, it's not going to, you know, in any way, shape, or form deter him from playing. It hasn't so far, and it's really consumed the better part of the last 2 months. And obviously, it's not going to take him off the field because of the injury and, of course, his past in the next however many weeks they play.
Am I wrong to – I watched the game, and just like you, physically, I still don't see something really holding him back. But yesterday, I feel like, I don't know, emotionally, like it wasn't the normal fired up Brady. There was no fist pumping. There was no celebrating. Am I wrong to have missed out on that?
No, I think – because, again, it's such a weird thing. You know, it's tricky to talk about. It's tricky to write about because, you know, even – I just caught myself. I started off the last answer by saying it's not an injury, and I think one of the last five words I used was injury. So I'm trying to not speak out of both sides of my mouth. It's just like, yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, they're trying to manage him over these last 2 weeks. I think, you know, ideally they go into these last two games, including yesterday, knowing that they're 6-0 at home, knowing that they should beat – the Bills and the Jets to lock up whatever they can lock up. And now, of course, you got the home field or the first round bye within their reach. And if you can do it while limiting Brady's, the intensity on some of these snaps that he has to deal with in the regular season, maybe you ease the burden on the workload. Maybe you get him as comfortable as possible in time for the playoffs when he can go full tilt. And then to the other side of it, you know, you look at, you know, that 2nd and 8 early in the fourth quarter yesterday, he evades, sort of dances around 3 in closing Bills and then gets a 10-yard pass off to Julian Edelman, which was one of Brady's best plays in the day, which in the cold, in those conditions, of course, it's in the fourth quarter, so that's when you would think the knee would act up more than other times. Kind of combine that with some of the throws, not just the Patterson touchdown, but he made some unbelievable throws in Miami a few weeks ago. I mean, 8-10, just outstanding throws. Did the same last week in Pittsburgh with that throw to Edelman on the final drive that gained like 34 yards or whatever it was. So again, you know, there are signs that yes, he's dealing with something, but there are also signs that yes, he can work his way through this. He can play through this, and he can still physically throw the ball maneuver about the pocket as well as you would want him to in crucial situations in the fourth quarter.
We have seen, Jeff, this offense, you know, I wouldn't call it sputter, but it hasn't exactly been firing on all cylinders for a while. Are they able to win a playoff game on the strength of their defense? I mean, their defense has looked, you know, good. They looked good yesterday. They look pretty good against Pittsburgh, but we've also seen them get torched by some teams that aren't that great offensively. Can they win playoff games if their offense isn't going to score 30 points?
Yes. If we see the defense that we saw yesterday, and honestly, if we see the defense that we've seen the last five wins now. I mean, over the last five wins, though, I understand that stretch is sort of sandwiched around 3 losses when the defense didn't play well at all. But it at least shows, like, the potential for what they're made of. I mean, the last 5 wins, they're allowing about 11 or 12 points a game. And the pass rush has been pretty good this season. The coverage has been pretty good this season. And, you know, there are stars in both of those levels with Stephon Gilmore and Trey Flowers that are as consistently productive on a weekly basis as probably anybody in the league. Although you take away the sacks, I guess, for Flowers in comparison to some of the elite edge rushers. But, You know, those are two really, really good players who are helping them out and delivering what they do best. The big X factor is, can you stop the run? And yesterday they did a good job. They allowed 4 yards per run. They contained Josh Allen. He wasn't really able to find any room when he was trying to just keep plays alive with his feet or look down the field to try to take off and run. I think he had five scrambles for 30 yards. So that was the defensive effort that you need to see. And it's weird because I don't think you should struggle against the run on the road and then just all of a sudden find it at home. I mean, I don't think that there should be a home-road disparity when it comes to run defense. I think there are other factors that hinder your performance on the road, but stopping the run shouldn't be one of them. So maybe this is just a matter of these guys were playing with better technique and fundamentals. I know that was, you know, sort of a contentious issue last week as the Patriots were trying to prepare for this game. You know, they were talking about how they were getting beat before the play even started because guys weren't lined up with the right leverage and so on and so forth, all the football jargon. And then the lane discipline with not allowing Allen the space to move around or scramble was a whole lot better. I thought, you know, an offshoot of that, Malcolm Brown being 25 yards downfield to recover that fumble was a high-effort play from a guy who hadn't really played all that well in the last 3 weeks. So that shows me his head is in a good place. So who knows? Maybe this is something that could serve as a jumping-off point to the Patriots' run defense.
Well, and on that note, I'm wondering what's going on with the whole Danny Shelton getting back in there, being out for a couple weeks, and is it surprising? I mean, for Adrian Claiborne, I mean, it was kind of a quiet offseason, so I guess Adrian Claiborne would qualify as the biggest addition they made to be a healthy scratch at this point in the season. That can't be, I imagine, what they were hoping for when they acquired him.
No, not at all. Not with a two-year, what is it, $10 to $12 million contract they were giving out. With Shelton, the price tag wasn't as high. You're swapping mid-round picks. But, yeah, I mean, you're now going four straight weeks where one of those guys was a healthy scratch. Shelton coming back was – look, I thought when they deactivated him 3 weeks ago, it was a general sense of, all right, let's, you know, kick him in the rear and hope this is a wake-up call and propels him to play better down the stretch like it has in the past. Situations like Malcolm Brown or Allen Branch, you know, Jabal Sheard had something like that a few years ago. So then it turned into a 3 week absence. So then he comes back and, you know, you've got Yufamba Kamalu. I hope I didn't screw that one up.
Sounded good.
Nice. He was active for the first time yesterday, but that meant Claiborne was out. So Claiborne has generated a decent amount of pressure. He usually gets near the quarterback a couple times a game. But his loss in edge containment has really hurt them significantly on a handful of plays over the course of the season with a scrambling quarterback like Josh Allen. I think that was a chance to give him a wake-up call that you can't just fly past the quarterback and allow him to sneak out the back door for 15 to 20 yards. So there's still some frustrating elements with the defense. But, again, you know, It weirdly enough, even though, you know, maybe the sacks aren't as high as you want them to be, but they do get near the quarterback quite a bit.
Jeff Howell, he covers the Patriots for The Athletic. You should be a cool kid and subscribe to that, just like Michael Hurley does.
Not to brag too much, but I do.
Well, I mean, you've got the big bucks, right? I mean, you've got the, we all know about your, you know, the large screen TV that you've got.
Everyone's aware of my setup. Everyone's aware. It's great.
Also now know, you know, that you sit in front of that TV and at the same time you're scrolling through The Athletic and reading Jeff Howe and all the other great coverage.
Like Michael Scott, I stand there for hours watching my TV and reading The Athletic.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas. All right, we will continue to talk some Patriots and some NFL. We'll look at some of the other games that happened around the NFL yesterday, some of which had a very direct impact on potentially the Patriots' chances in the postseason. We'll get to that coming up. Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley in for Tutcher and Rich.
98.5.
Elsewhere.
Talking about the Pats, Sox, Elves, Bruins, Revolution. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. around.
You play to win the game.
The NFL.
Oh, raise his hands.
In 15 minutes, give or take.
Go to courts, show ponies. Where's the beach?
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich. Around the NFL is brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Schedule your free consultation with the hair doctors of former NFL players Wes Welker, Rob Ninkovich, Sebastian Vollmer, and Chris Gronkowski. Call Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm appreciative that they put three E's on the so that I can remember to say it that way. The
Ohio State University.
Patriots needed a little help yesterday, and they got it in the form of Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Needed a win yesterday against the Houston Texans, who were in the number two slot in the AFC coming into yesterday. Eagles blew a lead in the fourth quarter, but Foles marches them down the field and gives Josh Elliott a chance to give them the win.
35 yards for the win. Hold your breath. Spotted. Kick up. It is gone! It's gone! The Eagles win!
The great Merrill Reese on WIP in Philadelphia.
I thought that was John Wallach.
35 yards. The game winner. 32-30. The Eagles beat the Texans. And suddenly the Patriots are back into the two slot.
Suddenly the Patriots are huge Nick Foles fans. It was funny. They played his bomb to, was it Aguilar, the touchdown?
Yes.
The deep touchdown at Gillette, and all the Patriots fans were cheering for Nick Foles. So it's funny what can change in a span of 12 months.
83-yard pass in the late stages of the third quarter from Foles to Aguilar. Foles had a huge day yesterday. 35 for 49, 471 yards, four touchdowns for Foles yesterday. Continuing to rack up the cash that some team is going to pay him and then regret soon thereafter for the former Super Bowl MVP.
Quick question, though. You're an Eagles fan, right?
Yes.
My brother asked me this question a few weeks ago. If Nick Foles leads the Eagles to a second straight Super Bowl, do you keep him and get rid of Wentz?
I mean, you almost have to at that point.
Back-to-back Super Bowls? That's happened once in the past since the Cowboys. The Patriots are the only team to do it.
I mean,
but you don't do it. No, you can't.
I mean, you could probably get a pretty good return for Carson Wentz, I would think.
I would think his season wasn't as bad as, you know, it was made out to be this year.
Don't think they're not going to have that conversation this morning down in Philadelphia.
You could probably get a top 10 pick.
The team seems to rally around Nick Foles for whatever reason.
Just look at what he did coming back from that injury. Like, that was the real deal.
If you didn't see it, he got speared in the chest by Jadeveon Clowney yesterday. To start the game-winning drive, in the end zone, he gets hit in the full force in the chest.
By Clowney, who's like 8 feet tall and 350 pounds.
He completed like a 30-yard pass, and they added 15 on at the end of that. Came out for one play, came back in, completed a few more passes, got them in a field goal range for a chip shot for the win.
Hard to not jump aboard the Nick Foles bandwagon at this point.
I'm telling you, somebody is going to pay him a lot of money. He's a free agent in the offseason.
Wonder who.
There's quite
New York Jets? Bring him in the Jets.
They've got their guy now.
Oh, yeah. What am I smoking?
They've got their guy. The Bills have their guy. The Jets have their guy.
Dolphins are going to need a quarterback.
Miami Dolphins. That would be an upgrade.
A huge upgrade.
Jaguars need a quarterback. I would say that the Redskins are probably going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know?
Good for Nick, though.
It's going to be Nick Foles. Nick.
What a story.
Nick Foles and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I don't think Joe's going to get much money. Team with maybe speedy wideouts. You just throw deep balls and get pass interference.
So that puts the Patriots back in the driver's seat for a bye next week. They win and they get the week off after that.
But on the negative side, it keeps the Eagles' playoff hopes alive.
So if
you're Super Bowl hungry, you got to worry about Nick Foles in February.
The Eagles are still on the outside looking in. They need a win, and they need a Minnesota loss next week to get in. They were hoping that Seattle might lose to keep that a possibility. But the Seahawks clinching a playoff berth last night with a win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wilson with the bright neon green shoes, leaning in, gets the shotgun snap chest high, looks, throws down the left sideline, one-on-one coverage out there, Baldwin leaping up, Baldwin makes the catch just inside the pylon on the left side for the touchdown.
Kansas City Chiefs are going to...
They are not going to win a playoff
game.
They are
imploding.
They're not going to win a playoff game.
See,
I'm telling you right
now,
they are not going to win a playoff game.
They win next Sunday against the Raiders. They get home field throughout the playoffs, but there's a legitimate chance they lose in the divisional round, and the Patriots have a clear path to through Foxborough all the way through the AFC Championship game.
Play the Patriots in primetime, lose. Play the Rams in primetime, lose. Play the Chargers in primetime, lose. Play the Seahawks in primetime, lose. The Chiefs are not going to win a playoff game.
You look at what has happened to that. I mean, they were rolling, right? Other
than
the loss
here.
To the Patriots, they were 9-1. They lose that game to the Rams, 54-51. Since then, a win over the Raiders, a win over the Ravens by a field goal in overtime, then a loss to the Chargers, a loss to the Seahawks. And now it feels like they're going to be limping into the playoffs. They're 2-3 in their last five games.
They give up a lot of points.
They give up a lot of points. So that's got the Patriots have that going for them as well. It's, you know, Flynn and I sit here on a regular basis, and he just marvels at how things around the Patriots just always seem to fall into place.
It's crazy too, because Matt and I were talking. If you look at the seeding. Being the one seed could get you the Chargers in the divisional round, and being the two seed could get you the Texans. I think, again, we said the Patriots are no sure thing against anyone, but I think you'd much rather the Texans come to town than the
Texans
Chargers.
Don't come in here and beat you.
I don't think they do.
That just
look at what they
happen.
Did yesterday in Philly.
Yep. And then there's another team that is trying to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Oof.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oof.
On the verge of missing the playoffs. They now need a win and help next week. They need the Cleveland Browns to beat the Ravens on the road just to give them a chance to get into the playoffs.
Pittsburgh.
Thanks to a loss in New Orleans yesterday. Mike Tomlin, what are you doing?
Punt formation for Jordan Berry. Oh, it is a fake. And running and being tackled near the lead stick is Roosevelt Nix. And now the Saints are celebrating like they kept it short of the lead stick. Where are they going to spot it? They say the Saints have the ball.
Oh, man.
And the Steelers are upset with the spot.
4:11 to go at your own 42-yard line. You're up by 4 points. Tomlin goes fake punt. They don't get it. They give Drew Brees a short field to work with. Of course he leads them in for a touchdown.
Oh, man.
And then... the Steelers still have a shot.
Plenty of time.
They still have plenty of time. You're down by a field goal.
Get it
you
to Juju.
You start driving down the field. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Roethlisberger takes the snap, drops back, three-man rush, throws over the middle. That ball is caught across the 40 to 40. Ball is out. Ball is out. The ball is out. The Saints have recovered it. The ball is out.
But was the ball out?
I think the ball was out. That's what I'm getting from that. Bring out the pole. That's what they say.
Juju Smith-Schuster. With a minute 25 left, fumbles away any chance they had to come back and tie that game. And the Steelers are now up against it going into the final week of the season.
The fake punt play was like a dream come true. As a football fan, just these absolute bozos celebrating, dropping the mic, celebrating as if you got the first down when you're a yard and a half short. You weren't even close. You weren't even remotely close to picking up that first down. And you get up like King Tut, walking down the field, bragging, showing off to the home crowd, sticking the ball out and dropping it like you did something when you were a yard and a half short. Oh, my God. That was like, if you were watching that and you didn't die laughing, you have no soul.
Look, I get Drew Brees is a great quarterback who's having an amazing year. But you're up by 4 points. You're in your own end of the field. Punt the ball away and make them go. They need a touchdown.
It's not a field goal. Make them go
80, 90 yards to get it. Don't give them the ball in your own end of the field.
And don't celebrate when you fall a yard shy of the sticks. Oh, that was great.
Steelers are an absolute dumpster fire.
The fumble at the end, the Smith-Schuster fumble, they were in field goal range at that point.
That was a hell of a game, though.
It was awesome.
A lot of fun to watch that one yesterday.
Like 9 hours long, but it was good.
All right, we will continue to go around the NFL. Patriots thoughts and more coming up. Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley in for Toucher and Rich.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Johnston, Michael Hurley with you here on this Christmas Eve morning in for Toucher and Rich, going around the NFL. A few other games of note. The New York Jets waiting for the Patriots in Week 17. Boy, they gave the Packers fits yesterday. Green Bay's had a really rough season. Looked like they were going to roll over and die yesterday, but they came back, tied the game, and in overtime, Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers in the shotgun. Williams to his left. Here's the snap. Rodgers clean pocket. Throws the middle. The end zone. Devontae. Touchdown. And a dagger. They beat Morris Claiborne.
Aaron Rodgers, 442 yards on 37 of 55 passing yesterday. Two touchdowns. Sam Darnold, three TD passes, 341 yards. Is he the real deal?
No. I mean, he's fine. I don't think he's the thing I've been saying, and maybe I'm being stubborn and not coming off my spot, but I don't see a rookie quarterback going into that Jets situation and really thriving. Like, they have a lot they've got to take care of with the GM, with the head coach. I don't think it's – Darnold didn't come into the league in a great situation. Maybe year two is something – offers something better. I mean, look at just, you know, Baker Mayfield, for example. That's someone who – under Hugh Jackson, wasn't probably going to get the opportunity that he's been getting. You know, it matters. I think the head coach matters, and a lot in the personnel, they're, you know, you read about the problems they have with the GM. I don't know. I'm not overly worried about Sam Darnold rising.
Over in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys clinching the NFC East Championship with a win over Tampa Bay yesterday.
Winston in the gun. It's an empty gun. Back to throw. Late pressure. Running right. Hit sack fumble. Jalen Smith recovers at the 30. Runs left to the 40. Midfield and he's running. Smith down the sideline. Jalen Smith down the sideline to become the first Cowboy to return the ball for a touchdown this year.
Turnovers. The Bucks outgained the Cowboys by 150 yards. It's just they turned it over twice.
Yeah. Is there a less scary team to play in the playoffs than the Dallas Cowboys?
There is not, but I will say this, and I think we should all agree on this. The world's a better place when you get to watch a Cowboys playoff game, because win, lose, or draw, something wild is going to happen. It's like –
Well, not only that, but you get to see disappointed Jerry Jones' face, is one of my favorite
Their
faces.
Last playoff game was the Rodgers pass down the sideline to – what's his name, right? The tight end? That amazing play, and then the Mason Crosby 60-yarder or whatever it was. I love it.
Dak Prescott, 161 yards passing. Ezekiel Elliott, 85 yards rushing. Completely
nothing going on.
Pedestrian performance
against the bad
by the Bucks Cowboys.
Team with a lot on the line.
Against the bad team yesterday. They do manage to win it 27-20, and so they win the NFC East and will be cannon fodder for somebody in the NFC playoffs.
Seattle.
Meanwhile, Minnesota. They needed a win yesterday in the worst way. Did not get off to the best of starts, but got a little help from above right before halftime.
Detroit rushes 3.5 as Jared Davis eyeballs Cousins, who fires into the end zone to the right side. And it's caught! Touchdown! An amazing touchdown catch by Kyle Rudolph. And the Vikings amazingly have taken the lead. In the shadow of halftime, it's a 44-yard miraculous connection.
And suddenly they had the lead, and they never looked back. 27-9 was the final score.
They're probably going to win next week, right? Because the Bears still have a shot at the bye, but only if the Rams lose
right.
to the 49ers.
Minnesota needs to win to get in next week, or else they
against
might
the
get
Bears.
Leapfrogged by the Eagles. The Bears have to, you know, have a chance at a bye. They've got something to play for. Gonna be an interesting one, but Matt Patricia's Detroit Lions are just god awful,
real bad,
just
real bad
awful.
Football team. But they do practice outside, so they're tough. So you can't ever take that from them.
All right, we will talk a little bit more about the Patriots' win over the Bills yesterday. We can take your thoughts on that 617-779-0985. It's Ryan Johnston and Michael Hurley here with you on this Christmas Eve morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.